Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
Welcome to Financially Speaking with Lisa, your weekly radio show hosted by Lisa Waterman, CEO of Waterman Financial Services, LLC, a local advisory firm focused on helping friends achieve financial success with a personalized discussion and financial plan. Now, here's Lisa Waterman.
Good morning. This is Lisa Waterman, CEO of Waterman Financial Services and your host of Financially Speaking with Lisa. Thanks for joining us today. I hope you'll join us each and every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. as we talk through various financial topics relevant to your financial life. Now, as we carry on through each segment of these shows, my hope is that I can simplify some of the complex and absolutely help you to achieve financial success. I am the owner and CEO of Waterman Financial Services, which is a full-service investment advisory firm. I'm also a certified financial planner, which is commonly known as a CFP, Certified Financial Planner. That designates and certifies my knowledge in five key areas. And with that, I also want you to know a CFP is not a very easy designation to achieve. It actually requires individual testing in these five different areas. Taxes and insurance, investments, state planning and retirement planning, all of those are the practice areas. You must pass a test on each one of those, then followed with a comprehensive test taken over 2 days. And then there's annual continuing education requirements. So as you carry on with your investing in financial life, I'd love you to have, you know, to call me. My number is 260-436-6588. But I'll also tell you, I would advise you to seek guidance from someone with the CFP designation because it documents specific achievement of understanding. You know, life happens to all of us, right? We get married, we divorce, we have kids, we lose people that we love through death. And all of these are specific triggers for needing to update your beneficiary designations. And that is what we're going to be talking about today. Because who you name can have significant ramifications. Now, all of us are usually required to sign a beneficiary designation for some regular old stuff that a lot of us have, like a life insurance policy, like my 401k plan. So when we're talking about beneficiary designations, a lot of times people are saying, well, when do we use it and why does one account have it and another account does it? Does not. Is there something like, can I do this wrong? Can I mess it up? How often should I update them? Don't I just do it once and I'm done? We're going to explore each one of these questions, but I'm going to start first with what actually a beneficiary designation is. It is the predetermination of who will receive your assets when you pass away. And for the record, the first person you name is the primary beneficiary, but, and it could be a few people, but if the primary beneficiary is not alive when you pass away, you also have the right to have previously named a contingent beneficiary. So we have primary beneficiary who receives the funds that you're passing, the contingent in the event that person has already died. So let's get into this now. Who should you name as a beneficiary? Well, that's easy, right? Who do you want to have your assets if you're not here to enjoy them? Well, in a lot of people's circumstances, it's not very easy at all to make that determination. Like, what if you have kids, but you have no spouse? What if your only beneficiaries are older than you? What if you cohabitate and you have shared children? So the right beneficiary might be your spouse. It could be your friend Bill, your sister Carol, your mom or dad. You can name more than one person. And here's a question. Does it even have to be a person? I get asked this all the time. Could I name a charity to be my beneficiary? Could I name my church? Absolutely. Yes. A beneficiary does not need to be a person. It can be a charity, and sometimes that's a great planning tool. In fact, you can literally name just about anybody you want to be your beneficiary. Well, almost. In certain cases, you must name your spouse, and it's in a very specific circumstance. Let me ask you, do you participate in an employer-sponsored 401k plan? And did you complete a beneficiary designation for that plan? Because if you're eligible, you must complete a beneficiary designation form as part of the enrollment process. And in federal law, under federal law, it dictates that you have to name your spouse as a primary beneficiary of an employer-sponsored retirement plan. Think 401k, 403b, a pension plan, a money purchase pension. Under one exception, that is, they can sign their consent to say it's okay. I don't have to be the sole beneficiary. That is the only only way that your spouse is not your beneficiary in a 401k or 403b. So as we go through this discussion, remember that beneficiary designations are used in specific circumstances with certain types of accounts. So those accounts, let's name them off. Life insurance. Life insurance pays out proceeds when someone passes away. A 401k plan. You get to use that for your happy freedom days, when my new name for retirement. Or how about an IRA? IRA has a beneficiary designation form. For the most part, that's kind of the accounts that we're talking about. But I want you to think long and hard about who should be the beneficiary, because some of this can become pretty major dollars. A lot of life insurance policies start at $100,000. So who should get that $100,000 and who's supposed to benefit from it? Beneficiary can be literally anyone. And this is really, really huge. You must remember to update the beneficiary designation form when your life changes. Remember, you get married, and then unfortunately, sometimes we get divorced. Do you have a beneficiary designation form that says your previous spouse is going to receive the life insurance proceeds? I will tell you, I have found them many times in my practice as I'm reviewing over documents, and I'll say, who is Joe Schmo? And somebody says, that's my previous spouse. Well, did you know he's the beneficiary of this life insurance policy? So I implore you, check your beneficiary forms, because your ex-spouse might receive the insurance proceeds or might receive your 401k. All you need to do is to call your life insurance company or the advisor on it, call your the HR department at your employer, and get a beneficiary designation form and update it. If you previously named your mom and sister, and now you're married, guess what? Your new spouse might really like that life insurance policy. Except if the beneficiary designation form says mom and sister are going to receive the proceeds of your group life insurance policy, guess who's going to get it? Your mom and your sister, not your new spouse, even though you are legally married. I want you to just take a quick second and think about the life insurance policies you have right now. Think of some of those old policies you pay couple bucks for. The fact is, it's a great time every year, maybe on your birthday, to review over who the beneficiary designations are on your accounts. You'll need some information like the beneficiary's full name, their address, their date of birth, the relationship to you, their phone number, the amount or percentage that they should receive, and their social security number. Because I'm kind of hopeful and I'm keeping my fingers crossed for you. You're not going anywhere anytime soon. So Social Security number will let us find them if that happens 30 years from now. I'm Lisa Waterman. You're listening to Financially Speaking with Lisa, and today we're talking about beneficiary designation forms. Please join us right after this commercial break when we're going to talk about who might be the best beneficiary for your situation. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Financially Speaking with Lisa on Wobble Radio, your weekly radio show hosted by Lisa Waterman, CEO of Waterman Financial Services, LLC. This program is specifically designed to help you with your daily financial life. Lisa will be right back in a moment.
Life changes fast. You have a job. You leave a job. You're married. You're not married. You have no kids. And then you have kids. At Waterman Financial Services, we live life with you, helping you consider the financial impact of life. Lisa Waterman is ready to help you. 260-436-6588.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
This is Financially Speaking with Lisa, your weekly radio show hosted by Lisa Waterman, CEO of Waterman Financial Services, LLC. You can also listen to this program and previous episodes of Financially Speaking with Lisa on the podcast page at wowo.com. Now, let's get back to Lisa.
Welcome back. I am Lisa Waterman, your host of Financially Speaking with Lisa, and we broadcast every Saturday here at 10 a.m. And today in this show, we're talking about beneficiary designations. And before the break, we talked about the importance of keeping those designations up to date and maybe using your birthday as a time to visit that every year, because life does happen. In a few minutes, we're going to talk about who to name as your beneficiary. I'm going to give you different scenarios that might relate to who you are. But I want to give you a general rule first. Remember, in beneficiary designations, we're really talking about life insurance and we're talking about retirement plans almost always. I want you, as a general rule, to consider closely the naming of your spouse as the primary beneficiary for all your retirement plans, including 401k, 403b, and IRAs. I'm going to tell you this simply because under the tax code, your spouse shares almost every benefit that you yourself has under the tax code. If you name a different beneficiary, they do not. Because in retirement plans, we're talking about tax-favored programs. Another suggestion, let's suppose that you're somebody who goes to church every Sunday and you believe in giving to charity. You believe in tithing. If you want to give some money to charity, a great way to do it is through your retirement plan. Name them as a beneficiary. Here's why. Most IRAs and 401ks use pre-tax dollars. That means when the money went in, it was not taxed. But it means when the money comes out, taxes have to be paid. So, anybody out there want to tell me an entity that doesn't pay any tax? A charity. So, if I name the charity as my beneficiary, they won't pay taxes on that money. So remember, when you're thinking you've got $100,000 in an IRA and you go, woohoo, I got $100,000, when that actually gets distributed, it might look closer to $50,000 because of the tax implication. So if you believe in giving to charity, look closely, both during your life and at death, to utilize the benefits of giving through your IRA. And there's some complexities there, so please consult with someone who's in the know. So again, Lisa Waterman here, financially speaking. And I don't have to tell you, life is complicated. So I want to go through a few different scenarios here to help you figure out who it might make sense to name as your beneficiary. So let's suppose, number one, I'm married, I have kids. Okay, that's going to cover a lot of us out there. That covers me, in fact. But I can say, hey, you got it easy. You're married with kids. So naming your spouse as the primary beneficiary is probably the go-to for most of you out there. That way, your partner can use the proceeds of the policy or accounts to help provide for your kids, pay the mortgage, and ease any of the economic hardships. Now, I'll also say, though, this might be perfect if your kids are under the age of 18. But once they're past the age of 18, you might consider naming all of them to be your primary beneficiary, depending on what you want to have happen. Maybe you have $100,000 in your account, you want $50,000 to go to your spouse and the remaining amount split between your kids. No right or wrong answer, but realize too that the fundamental problem happens if your current spouse after your death ends up getting married again. That's where the complexities happen. So sometimes people will name their spouse along with maybe a parent or a sibling to help ensure that your young children might receive the assistance they need. Let's say you're married with no kids. Now, this should be pretty straightforward because probably you just want to name your spouse or your partner as a beneficiary and maybe name your parent or a sibling as a contingent beneficiary. You know, you might choose to designate that retirement account or your life insurance policy to help pay off the mortgage or help them with remaining debt after you pass. And in essence, having those assets and giving them to somebody you love, this is the easiest one. I'm married with no kids. But you might also consider naming a charity or your church as a beneficiary. You can name a friend, other family members, no problem. You get to decide and you just get to decide based on your relationships. Probably one of the tougher ones is, I'm a single parent. It's just me and my kids. This absolutely requires more careful planning. Now realize that retirement accounts may not be paid out to minor children. So whoever is a caregiver of the children might actually be in charge of the funds received after your passing unless you make some other provision. Some of the stuff we've talked about on the show is get a will or a trust established. It would absolutely be the best thing, most beneficial to you, to sit down with an estate planning attorney and craft a plan that makes some sense because the beneficiary designation is just one component in a greater estate plan. So you're a single parent. How about naming your parents? Because that seems like a great idea. But unfortunately, time marches on and life happens again and your parents pass away well before your children reach adulthood. So here, naming a trust designed to care carefully for your children probably would make the most sense. Let's say you're living in a multi-generational household. All of these circumstances require you to carefully review the potential outcomes and pitfalls. Typically, family members or an independent trustee are the best recipients of funds that you need to help your family. But truly, there's just no perfect answer. It's just the one that works best for you. But think about it. I want you to realize that it requires an extra special process, because if you're single, it may mean that you are estranged from the other parent. And recognize that if you don't give further guidance and you want to leave it to your kids, you're actually giving it the money to the estranged parent to take care of those funds, unless you make other provisions. I'm Lisa Waterman with Financially Speaking, and we're talking about how to complete beneficiary designation forms. Let's say, I've got a couple other provisions here. Let's say you're single, no kids. Think about this one pretty carefully, because a lot of people here name their parents. But you might think of any other member who helped you co-sign a mortgage, a student loan, car loans, because by naming them as beneficiary, you ensure that they get the financial means to pay off whatever you guys were involved in. Also think about who's going to take care of your funeral, because this would be the great place to give them the money to do it. It's a really awesome thing to remember. Really, really awesome. As your life situation changes, change your beneficiary designation. The last one is you just have multiple financial obligations to a lot of different family members. Remember, most beneficiary designation forms don't limit the number of beneficiaries. We don't want 25, but maybe you want to name 5 different people in differing amounts. That's pretty easily accomplished with correct completion of the form. If you don't know how to do the form, seek guidance. Your HR department is a great place. Your financial advisor, your tax advisor, your accountant will help you to do that. I am Lisa Waterman, and I am your host of Financially Speaking with Lisa. And we're going to take a short break, and then when we get back, we're going to look at the 7 common mistakes that people make on beneficiary designations. It's an important topic. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Financially Speaking with Lisa on Wobble Radio, your weekly radio show hosted by Lisa Waterman, CEO of Waterman Financial Services, LLC. This program is specifically designed to help you with your daily financial life. Lisa will be right back in a moment.
Sailing into the sunset without a worry is everyone's happy retirement vision. Guidance from a financial advisor who can craft a financial plan based on your circumstance is the first step to a sun-filled and content retirement. Call Lisa Waterman at 260-436-6588.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
This is Financially Speaking with Lisa, your weekly radio show hosted by Lisa Waterman, CEO of Waterman Financial Services, LLC. You can also listen to this program and previous episodes of Financially Speaking with Lisa on the podcast page at wowo.com. Now, let's get back to Lisa.
Hi, I'm Lisa Waterman, and your host of Financially Speaking with Lisa, a weekly broadcast every Saturday morning here at 10 a.m. And today, as we carry on with our show, we're talking about beneficiary designations and their importance. I want to speak to you specifically if you're a participant in an employer-sponsored retirement plan like a 401k or a 403b, or if you have an IRA, because what I'm about to tell you is so important, and literally, it could save your estate, and that means your family, thousands of dollars. Please get updated forms from your company's human resource department or call the manager of the company's retirement plan for the current forms and get it completed with the appropriate beneficiary, because it is so important. Let's just say this. The money in your retirement plan has probably not been taxed. So you're thinking you have a nice balance in the plan. I mentioned this earlier in the show. Let's just say for a second you got $100,000 in there. You're thinking, fantastic. But if that money hasn't been taxed, it's going to get taxed at withdrawal. And depending on who you name as the beneficiary, the taxes can be extensive. Please, please, please talk to your financial, your tax advisor about your overall plan and get assistance with the ramifications associated with naming different individuals or charities on your beneficiary designation form. So in this segment of the show, I want to have just kind of give you some real life examples. I consulted with Nina Mitchell of Her Wealth, who put these out here. but they're ones that we all know, and we don't always know, I should say, the mistakes that we make. So the first one is too many people just simply don't name a beneficiary. So if you've been listening to any of the other shows or podcasts, you know if you don't name a beneficiary, have no fear. The court system in your state will determine who inherits your funds. But I'm just saying, if you've got family, if you've got a friend out there, just to complete the form. You're absolutely creating undue strain for your loved ones by not completing this form. And I'll also say, if you need a friend, call me. I'll be your beneficiary. No problem. All kidding aside, I really, really mean it. Just get the form done. In the case of retirement plans and IRAs, you may cost your beneficiaries a whole lot of unnecessary tax dollars because forced distributions from retirement plans, IRAs, can have significant tax impact. Now, on the other hand, and I've mentioned this a few times, naming your spouse as your beneficiary gives that spouse all the benefits pretty much you have yourself, including how to make the distributions from your IRA. That is not true if you name your child or someone else to be your beneficiary. Taxes on IRAs and retirement plans can easily reach 30, 40, 50% of the distributed amount, if not more. And if all the funds are required to be distributed to a beneficiary in 1 year, you don't have to be a tax expert to realize you might be swinging into different tax brackets, which means higher tax rates than you would have had to do if you actually had a different distribution strategy. I can't even really tell you how important this is. Please seek guidance on who you're naming as your beneficiary. I'll give you just a quick guide for IRA distributions. Literally, the required distributions could take 1 year, up to 5 years, over the life expectancy of the decedent, that's the person who died, or the life expectancy of the beneficiary. That's what we're talking. Huge, huge difference of possibilities means huge, huge difference in the tax payments. So remember, if you need a friend, call me. I'm here for you. But if you don't, name a charity. There's some phenomenal charities out there that would love to have the dollars that you might leave behind. It just takes completing a form. So number one error, there are plenty of things out there people have not named a beneficiary. Another common mistake, having outdated beneficiaries. The negative consequences are really clear. The person you gave the money to was not who you intended to give it to. It was not your last wishes. There's plenty of money out there that has been given to ex-spouses, even if you've already remarried, may have had other children or other situations. Your beneficiary designation form is very, very powerful, and it completely supersedes your will or other trust documents. Here's a mistake people do with the outdated beneficiaries. You have two kids, but 3 years later, you have a third child. You name your two kids, and you never mention the third on your beneficiary designation form. Guess what? That third child isn't getting any of the dollars. There is a preferred designation. It's called per stirpes. That's S-T-I-R-P-E-S, per stirpes. It basically means, hey, I want it to go to all my kids, and then it would even take care of a share for if a deceased child is a part of that designation. If your primary beneficiary would die before you, your contingent beneficiary will now be the recipient. Very important. Keep things updated. I think you get the picture. Review and update your beneficiary designations often. Use your birthday as a, hey, some stuff I got to get done. A third error that we see, and this is a big one too, you name minors as direct beneficiaries. Remember, folks, minors can't handle money. Unless they're, and I would safely say, depending on where you're listening, it's going to be 18 or 20 or somewhere in between there. But providing an 18-year-old with immediate access to a large sum of money is probably not a good idea. And in this case, it would have been so much better to have just named, put the proceeds into a trust and made sure that the person receiving the money over a lifetime can better be handling it. Another error, naming special needs individuals as direct beneficiaries. For this purpose, a special needs person is someone who's receiving government aid now or in the future for their disability. If you designate a special needs individual as a direct beneficiary, you could unintentionally disqualify that person from receiving any valuable government benefits. And then not only do they have to spend down their inheritance, but they might also have to go through the application to requalify for benefits. Work with an attorney if you have a special needs person. Don't try to cut corners. Just get qualified counsel. The last mistake that we see is naming a child as a co-owner on a deposit or investment account. It's certainly not unusual, as I mentioned earlier in the show, for an aging parent to add a trusted child as a co-owner of a bank account. But, you know, I mean, especially if the child's paying the parents' bills. But typically, the parent's intent is not for that adult child to inherit the entire account, although it might be. But just realize naming a child as a co-owner has important ramifications. All of the things we're talking about have important ramifications. If you name a child, and I say a child meaning to you, they may be an adult child. If you put them on your account, there may be creditor issues. Who's going to pay for your final expenses? There's so many different issues here that need to be addressed. So get your beneficiary designation forms, get them from your HR department, get them from the provider of your 401k plan, whatever, but get it and review who the person is. Consider naming your spouse as your primary beneficiary. Extremely important for tax ramifications. So we're going to call today's show complete. This is Lisa Waterman. You're listening to Financially Speaking with Lisa. And today's show, we've been talking about beneficiary designation. Please go review your designations and ensure that you're doing it exactly the way you intended. Life happens, and your life's probably changed over the last few years. This is Financially Speaking with Lisa, broadcast here every Saturday at 10 a.m. on News Talk 1190 WOWO. Please join us next week.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
This has been Financially Speaking with Lisa, hosted by Lisa Waterman of Waterman Financial Services, LLC, a local advisory firm focused on helping friends achieve financial success. Join Lisa next Saturday at 10 on WOWO Radio and listen to this program and previous episodes on the podcast page on WOWO.com.
Podcasts by Federated Media.